Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome to all our listeners. As usual, this is Janice and Steve from the Homeport Crew with our weekly radio show for America's Great Loop Cruisers. Beth is on vacation today, so she won't be joining us. For those non-members out there who are listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America. It includes the Atlantic and Gulf intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. Our association, known as America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, or AGLCA, was formed to put together the sense of sharing of the adventure and the curiosity for our members. We basically disseminate information and enhance the overall experience of the loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to become a member if you're not already one. During our show today, we would love to have call-in questions or comments. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Our co-hosts this week are Captain Sterling and Judy Kennedy. By way of introduction, Captain Sterling and Judy are two-time loopers, and they're flying the Platinum Looper flag. They're actually on their third perpetual loop as we speak. They have logged over 33,000 cruising miles, and Captain Sterling has a 100-ton captain's license. He has owned an Everglades tour boat company in Key Largo, their hometown, since 1988. He and Judy are lifetime members of AGLCA. They have cruised the St. Johns River in Florida many times and rave about the river's unique beauty. They believe it is one of their favorite side trips of the loop and that they have done and consider St. Johns River a must-do. Captain Sterling, you call the St. Johns River Florida's best-kept cruising secret. Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you what I really think it is. The people are leaving Florida at the end of winter, and they're kind of in a hurry to get on the road, and they don't want to do side trips yet, so they kind of bypass that river. When you pass that mouth of that huge river, you think, well, what could be up there? And it's really unfortunate because it's really one of our personal favorite cruises. We've done it several times. It's unique in so many ways. It's like the Everglades National Park. There's only one St. Johns River that I've ever seen, or any river like it anywhere else. It's just very, very unique. It's unusual in that it's a river that actually flows north. It's one of the very few rivers in the United States that do flow north. It's kind of different and feels kind of weird heading south and going upstream, but it does happen. It's 310 miles long, of which we can navigate about 160 miles of the river in our trawler, so it's a really, really great trip to take. There's a whole lot of places on this river that people just kind of seem to bypass when they do go on it, and we're going to talk about the places that we go to today, not the places that are obviously the marinas and the well-known anchorages, but the places that we've enjoyed returning to several times over. Now, we'll start out today at the junction of the St. Johns River and the Intercoastal Waterway. This is a place that you have to plan or try to plan to head up river at the right time. You want to ride the tide up that river because the tide really flows through there up to about 3 knots or more. So there's two places you can stage to wait for that. There's actually a free dock right there just north on the intercoastal waterway of St. John's River called Jim Key Park Marina. You can stay there for 72 hours for free. Wait for the right timing in your tide and then head upriver. And once you get on that river, you're going to feel like the little pea in the pod. It's a very commercial river at this end of it. It's very large. A lot of Navy traffic, a lot of big ships coming up and down, a lot of tugs and barges. But it's real easy navigating, very safe to travel. You just got to remember that you don't have the right-of-way. They do. But it's huge. In the first part of the river, you'll think, well, what am I coming up here for? It's so big and there's nowhere to stop, and there isn't for about 17 miles. Until you get up to Jacksonville City itself, just keep trucking. There's no reason to stop whatsoever. But once you get to Jacksonville, that's a place that Gigi and I both really, really like to stop at. It's got two places you can stay, again, for free. And how often do you hear free docks in Florida? Hardly ever. These are two places in the city that let you stop for basically nothing. They have the downtown Jacksonville area, which has a long side two tide dock along the riverfront there right at the shopping mall. And they're free, absolutely no charge, but no electric water. But you can get off the boat there, you can have dinner, you can have drinks, you can go wander around the shopping mall, get on the city bus and travel to see the sights, all for absolutely no cost whatsoever.
How long can you stay there, Sterling?
I think it's a 24-hour limit, as I recall.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I've never heard anybody getting forced on that. And it's just a stop that we like to go first just to kind of unwind after the trip upriver and get off the boat and maybe go to Hooters. it's a fun place. Well, we'll go there. We'll stop at Jacksonville Landing Beach Marina, explore around a little bit. You can't, unfortunately, there's nowhere near there to buy any supplies. But the good news is once you've seen Jacksonville and stopped there for the day, that you can head on down just a little bit farther down the river to Ortega River, which is on the west bank, about 5 miles south of Jacksonville. And then on the Ortega River, which has its own little swing bridge there, there are several marinas there that you can stop. Very good reputation for almost all the marinas have great work for you without a whole lot of money. Our personal favorite happens to be Ortega. And Ortega is right, the second marina in on your right on the river. They have a dock master named Paul who throws these parties, I'd say a couple times a month. And he's very accommodating. He puts on a dock party. I'm guaranteeing you're going to have a good time. And last time we were there, he had brought a whole bunch of slabs of meat for everyone to eat, some ribs and whatnot, and just threw them on the barbie for everybody to just chow down. And it turned to one of your typical dock parties with cruisers all over the dock and just having a good time. But one of the neat parts about Ortega, to me, is it's a marina that you stop in. It's, first off, it's relatively inexpensive. It's 90 cents a foot, and that's with electric, water, everything you need, laundry. Plus, it's less than 2 blocks from a shopping mall that has West Marine, Publix, and restaurants. And an Enterprise car rental is just a few blocks away. It's what we call the ultimate stop. It's a grand slam. You got all three things. You got West Marine, you got Publix, and you got everybody's Enterprise rental car. I mean, what else could you ask for to stop? We usually spend a couple of days there, and that's what we'll be provisioned, because by then we probably need to restock a few supplies. And it's a fun place to stay. But from here on the trip, you won't be traveling more than about 40 miles is your longest stay. Average days down the river, or up the river rather, are usually 15 to 20 miles. So we're going to head south from there, head down the river 37 miles to Green Cove Springs. And that's a place that Judy could tell you a little bit better about than I can. She's explored the town exclusively, took a trip of the springs. Judy, why don't you tell them about that spot?
Well, I just like Green Cove Springs because I find it so unique, because the springs itself feeds into a public swimming pool. So it's really different.
Uh-huh.
Set in a park-like setting, it's just gorgeous. And all the locals are there swimming, of course, if you can stand being in this cold water. But it's so pretty, and this spring is feeding into the swimming pool, and then there's like a creek from the water of the springs flowing down. just gorgeous, a beautiful walk in the park. Everyone seems to hang out on weekends. It's just a nice spot to stop and smell the roses, so I really do enjoy it. And it is a nice town there also, that there's lots of areas that are easy to walk to, auto parts stores and restaurants and grills, and of course your banks and everything else is available, but it's a fun spot to stop at.
Great.
And oddly enough, another inexpensive dock there. It's $20 regular night with electric on the city docks.
That's right.
Or if you're a senior, which I happen to be one now, I just got that officially done by Social Security, so I'm happy. $10.
Me too.
Happy day, my bar tab is paid for life. So for $10, you can explore the city. And right at the top of the hill by the docks is a little bar and grill we went to that actually we couldn't find ice that day, and they gave us a bucket of ice to take back to the boat. So a friendly little place right there. Now, what you can do after this is right across the river and just down a few miles, about 5 miles, is what's called Six Mile Creek. Another free dock. This is kind of like being on the Erie Canal. You go up the creek about a mile, and you'll see on your left a dock that's probably 1,000 foot long in 20 foot of water. And at the very end of the dock is a little cheesy type restaurant. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Do you remember the name of that restaurant?
No, I don't. I think we called it the Six Mile Restaurant, but I'm not sure if that's the name of it or not.
Well, anyway, they allow you to dock there for free. All you got to do is order a meal, which you would anyway. Spend the night and look at the alligators. And you can also get in your dinghy there and go exploring up the creek and count alligators at night, which is a fun thing to do. Now, you need to get that all stocked up on your party and food there, because we're going to do the longest trip of the day there. We're going to head down to Palatka, Florida, which will be on the west bank right around the corner. And Palatka is a typical small Florida town. They have a free dock there for day use. They also have two free docks, or pier rather, that you can go on for 72 hours at a time. It's walkable to supplies. Again, the town there it's in distress like most small towns are, but it still has an Elks Club and a downtown area, and it's a really unique diner. What's that you always ordered at diner at the double cheeseburger, Judy?
I know. It's Angel's Diner. I mean, it's really from back in the 50s. Yeah.
I'd love that.
It's just really cool. And, yes, all the old goodies are on the menu also. So, yeah, there's a double cheeseburger that I think is fabulous. Not that I can usually eat the whole thing, but it's really good.
And the diner is actually an old antique railroad car. It's a real old fashion railroad car diner, like you don't see anymore. From then, we're going to head south, just not that much farther down to...
But tell them again, though, Palatka's marinas, again, the prices all along these marinas are so inexpensive. Holiday Inns is like $40 a night, and the Boathouse Marina is only $1 a foot. So, I mean, it's just really incredible, the prices. You do feel like you've gone back in time.
Uh-huh. Cool. Especially for Florida.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Especially when you're at $250 and $350 a foot down here.
Mm-hmm.
So we get all excited, you know. Okay, Sterling, you can take us farther down now.
Okay, let's head on south. Cast off that midship line. Let's go.
Okay.
We're going to head down south to about mile 81 on the river, which is Rat Island, and you'll turn into Dunn's Creek. You have a couple of options here, which are kind of unique. You can continually heading south through Dunn's Creek back to the river, which is very scenic and very windy river, lined with cypress trees and vines and, of course, alligators. You can also have several places you can anchor in here. But what we did one time was head up Dunn's Creek into Crescent Lake all the way down to a little place called Three Bananas. It's a little sister to two brothers place owned. That's why they call it Three Bananas. Has great food there, overlooking the lake, has their own town dock there, and they also have their own private dock for Three Bananas. But I highly recommend if you go into Crescent Lake, you go to Three Bananas docks or the city docks, do not anchor. This is the only place I've ever experienced in my life where we actually tried to anchor there several times. We put out two anchors, At that time, we had a guy on board, my son-in-law, who's a surfer. He got in the water and tried to set the anchors. They would not hold. The bottom of the lake must be just pure flat slate. There's nothing to grab onto. So if you go into Crescent Lake, don't try and anchor. You're wasting your time. Go right to Three Bananas docks. And I should mention, too, all these things that we're talking about is on Active Captain. And probably Skipper Bob's, too, as I recall. So those two Bibles, if you're cruising with them, will give you all the information you need on where to go and what not to do and what to do.
We met some absolutely incredible people, though, in Dunn's Creek. As Sterling said, we're having a hard time anchoring, dropping anchor. Here we are, dragging anchor. Back and forth we went. And obviously, one of the locals living there on the water saw what was happening with us and had to yell and holler, wave us over. I want you to know they had us pull up to their dock and spend the night at their dock. Just wonderful people. Told us where else to go in town, told us other places that we could walk to, wound up running into them as we were out for the evening. And it was just a wonderful, pleasant, friendly town. We just had a great time there. And if you get into Three Bananas, please be sure to look for a little birdie that might be up on the wall that says Lake Surprise Yacht Club. It's Captain Sterling's little yacht club here in Key Largo, and he had to give them one of our flags.
It's a real collector's island there.
That's for sure.
Okay. See, well, the trip to and from the lake is easy. It's easy navigation, not a problem at all. A bit of current like everywhere on the St. John's, but very doable. Now, continuing on south, where am I out of my notes here? Okay, got it. The Florida East-West Gateway Canal. In fact, we had a member just went up that. He had wrote a webpage on it. The lock there still works. But this is a canal they were going to build back in 1968 to cross the state of Florida. If they would have finished it, we'd be able to go in here and go out of the Gulf of Mexico. It didn't get finished, however, because they were afraid of mixing the salt water with the fresh. So it only goes for a few miles past the lock. But you can get up in there if you want to, and you want to get away from everything and know everybody. There's a trip to make. He did it in a he had no problem with navigation. Or I haven't personally done that trip, but I think I might try it next time. Heading on south to mile marker 92, Wallaca. Not to be confused with Palatka, but Wallaca. Another neat little town. It has a couple of very unusual features in it. It's got a wooden boat museum, which unfortunately is not open every day. In fact, the owner just passed away, and they're opening it occasionally, but it's well worth going into. He's built some boats out of wood that are just fantastic, like nothing you'll ever see. It's all walkable from either the city dock, or if you go into Costa Creek Marina just north of there, go into Carter Rabbit to see it. Well worthwhile. Wallaca does offer another, yeah, you guessed it, free dock. Hmm. Right downtown. There is a downtown Wallaca. It's a little tight, but we have a 38-footer. We can get in there on the T dock there, kind of crossed. And you can walk to the Wind Boat Museum. There's also a place called Shrimps or Us, which is a nice little shrimp bar right there in downtown Wallaca. And surprisingly found out that people do shrimp on this river, and it is a freshwater river, so the shrimp do go up the river. And at this point, it's still very tidal, so you have a reverse of flow every couple of 8 hours. Wallaca is a neat little town. You definitely want to stop there. Just behind Wallaca is a little hidden place. It's charted as an active captain. And on the charts, actually, they have a springs there that pops up called Laaca Springs, which is a little hard to find, but in your dinghy, if you do exploring, you can get in there and get you a little taste of fresh water coming right out of the ground. We're heading south again. We're heading on down to mile 101, and there we'll be entering Lake George. Lake George is a pretty good-sized lake, about, 8 miles across, but there's two springs in here that are definitely worth seeing. There's Salt Cove and Silver Glen Springs, which are both on the west bank. Now, with a trawler drawing more than 3 feet, do not attempt to go into these springs without local knowledge. I wouldn't take mine in, I'd draw four. But I have taken my last trawler in there with 3 foot, and it's a very unique experience. You go up through Lake Church to Silver Springs Run, pull into the entrance, work your way up in there, and you'll see that where it kind of dead ends, that's where the spring is, obviously, and the water gets very, very clear. You anchor your boat to the middle area there, walk over to the springs, take your snorkel mask with you, jump in, take a look. You won't believe the clarity of the water and the millions of bass fish that are coming in the springs just hanging out there. It's one of the best snorkeling trips I've ever made in my life. I highly, highly recommend you stop at Silver Springs, jump in the water with a snorkel mask, take a look-see.
It's fabulous. But the one and only time we did take the boat in, like he says, and anchored, it was scary as could be because the water is so clear. Standing on the bow and watching us come in, you could not have it. There was no depth perception because it was so clear. It was like, I just felt like we were going to hit bottom any moment. It was just really, really strange. And, of course, we did get in the water once we were anchored. And here you were on the bottom, and standing on the bottom of the water, you're looking around, and you could look under your boat and see everything under the boat. It was incredible. Just a real great experience if you can get in like that.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we love the springs.
That springs water is actually clearer than the water in the Bahamas.
The
water has a bit of a fog to it, but the stuff is as clear as you can imagine. Unbelievable.
Like a glass of water, yes.
Yes, definitely. Now, once you leave Lake George, you're going to be entering what we call the old-style Africa-type cruising. It's going down the northern part or the southern part of the St. John's River. It starts to get real narrow and real windy, but, again, very easy to navigate, very, very well marked where necessary. But now you're going to start seeing all the cypress trees and the hanging vines and the alligators on the banks and just the way you imagine it was in Florida 100 years ago is what you're going to see here. You're going to start heading down this river with your mouth open and your camera clicking. Really a great place from here on down. It really gets good. You'll go through some little bitty towns. There's Astor, which is about 121. They have a place there called the Blue Water Inn that you pull in right off the river. Bow in or stern into the dock. The owner will come out and help you tie up. It's $18 a night with electric and water. Yeah, $18 for everybody, not just seniors. And there's a nice little restaurant there with a tiki bar that overlooks the river. You can sit there, watch the traffic go by, and have your favorite little cocktail. It's a good little hangout there. Downtown Astor, which is probably a population of about 300 people at most.
Big job.
Yeah, big time. Now, what I want to mention, too, when you're just part of the river especially, if you have a dinghy, put that thing in the water, and every chance you get, go explore it. The side creeks along this river are phenomenal. I mean, there's, like I mentioned, the hanging vines, the cypress trees, the lily pads, the alligators, the birds. Judy and I were on a trip once up a side river. You want to tell that story? About the owl and the snake.
Well, that's farther down. That was not here.
Well, I was a little premature there.
Yes, you are, because you know what? You forgot about Astor. I remember being in Astor and going under the bridge and just coming up upon that Blue Water Inn. And we are putting along. I think we're at 5 or 6 miles an hour. I mean, we are really just taking in the sights. Do you remember what I'm going to talk about, Strong?
Yeah, I do.
And the next thing you know, now, first of all, this was on a previous trawler, and I had just painted the walkways, the decks. So we're on board, and next thing you know, here comes, I don't know, what was he? A cop.
Cop, local cop.
And comes out to the boat, and, you know, here he is, lights flashing, siren to stop us, and we're like, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? And, of course, he wants to come aboard, and Sterling says, well, we just painted the decks. I don't think so. Tell him, Sterling. You tell him the story.
Well, I opened the side window. This is probably where I messed up, and he's got tight sides, and we're drifting down the river. And as I opened the window, I said, would you like fries with that order? Well, it kind of upset him a little bit.
The guy did not have no sense of humor at all.
he asked me, he said, you know, I'm Paul Neuer. I go, I haven't got a clue. He said, well, you're still not awake. Now, this was our first trauma that Judy and I owned together. And it was, home build is a generous word. It was a real funny looking trawler. It wouldn't do five knots wide open. It just could not throw awake. And it's, and long story short, he ends up giving us a warning for no awake, which we have now framed in our boat.
why he said he gave it to you? Why? What were you doing?
Oh yes, he said to me, you know, why do you think this is a no awake zone? I said, well, it's supposed to protect the shoreline from erosion. Oh no, it's to protect the boats there in the docks and everything. Okay.
So you don't rock the boats at the dock.
Yeah, which are, you know, them silly electric.
We've just really chuckled over this many times over, obviously.
Yeah, sure, I hope this guy's not listening.
Oh, me too. My name is Bob. Yeah, I actually haven't seen him lately going through there over the years. So I guess he's retired by now. I don't know.
Well, that's good for us.
Heading south of Master again, it's nice and windy and scenic, and you'll just go slow just to see the scenery. You'll go slow trawler speeds just to see what's going on there. We head on down. We'll go to Huntoon State Park, which is at mile 131. And, yep, $18 a night with electric and water, or $9 for seniors. Can't hardly beat that with a stick. Spend the night there. They got walking trails there. They have a side river right next to Huntoon. We went up in the dinghy, which was really, really great. It was, again, old Florida jungly. Lots and lots of fun. Next, we went to walk on a path back there, and then Judy wanted to go for all these exercise things, you know. Well, it turns out they have a bear. So I decided not to go.
Yeah, that's
so I can't
play
with the path. Like, yeah, I'm not digging the bear at all.
Well, we start out on this nature trail. You know, we're going to do this whole path. And, oh, Sterling's all gung-ho. I finally got him moving his fanny, you know. And he's found his big walking stick, and it's all this production for him to be ready to go on this nature trail. And we barely get in at 50 feet or 100 feet. And what do you think there is? A sign that says, beware of bears or whatever. Oh, well, let me tell you. You know, we are not going a step farther. You know, I mean, I think he starts backpedaling before he can even read the sign. Well, as we're walking out, of course, immediately, who do we see but a little park employee, a young girl. She might be 18 or 19 years old, cute little thing in her sneaks and short shorts and just walking along and up the path she's heading. And I said, where are you going? She says, oh, well, they have housing for us at the other end of the island here past the nature trail, the end of the nature trail. I said, oh, well, what about the sign for the bears? I said, Sterling won't go in the path with me because of the bears. Oh, she said, they're fine. You might see a few, but don't worry about it. So this young girl traipsed through there every day, going to and from the little office area, and Sterling wouldn't go even with his walking stick. Just had to tell that on you. Sorry.
It takes a real man to admit he's afraid of a bear, right?
This is a side story, but where we used to live, there were a lot of bears in the area, and I used to walk to work every day.
Okay.
And one day I'm walking to work, and I hear all this rattling noise in the bushes off on the side. And I looked over, and my first thought was, boy, that's an ugly dog. And it turned out to be a black bear.
Uh-huh.
And so the next thing, I'm looking for some place to go that he can't follow me. But they had no interest, or she had no interest in me. Came up to the road, looked both ways, scampered across and up the side of the mountain. So they're not real black bears particularly. They're not very aggressive.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. They're not aggressive. But Sterling wants to take a chance.
I'm on your side, Sterling. I stay home.
Well, I'll tell you, I got a little side story I can tell you about the little keys. Rumor here is going on. We had two nights ago, a 65-pound dog got eaten by a 10-foot crocodile.
Ooh.
Off the dock.
Oops. It's called a retriever.
Yeah. Not an alligator, a crocodile.
So where'd the crocodile come from? That's when you said crocodile, I was thinking, where'd that come from?
We have, Key Largo is home to the American crocodile. We have about 500 to 600 of them.
Is it really?
Yeah, but they're very endangered, very, very, very timid and shy. This is the first time I've ever heard of an attack on anything by a crocodile. You know, you just don't see them. They're in our canals everywhere, but they're always down low hiding, you know. But this one just went grab that. And 65 pounds is a pretty good-sized dog.
Yeah.
Golden retriever.
Yeah.
Pull him in the water.
He's gone. Bang.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's panicking here now, but, of course, like we said, it's the first we've ever heard of it happening. So
and then we're telling people to get in their dinghy and go explore. Look at the alligators. I wouldn't look too close, though, but it's still kind of fun.
Don't drag your feet.
There's
water, you know.
One of the plantations in the Charleston area does tours of the grounds, and there's a lot of alligators on the grounds that run free. And the tour guides say there's no such thing as an unprovoked alligator attack, that they've never seen one, you know. In all the years we've been living here, we've never heard about an alligator attack that somebody didn't beat him with a golf ball or something.
So, well, you know, when you really think about it, this wasn't an attack. It was just an animal going for food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but,
so.
You know, the
hungry alligator.
It's pretty well overrated as far as I can tell.
Yeah. But you've heard of more attacks from alligators. I mean, you think about it, you don't hear about crocodiles doing anything.
No.
I mean, you didn't even realize they were here because they're so, you know, there's just nothing happening with them, you know.
Yeah, you never see them.
Not that I go swimming if there were alligators in the water, but...
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or crocs, for that matter.
Yeah,
or crocs, for that matter. We tell people that all the time because they do swim down here in our canals and such. And we're like, I wouldn't swim in the canal. Bayside, maybe, but not in the canal because the crocs do hang out in the canal, and the canals are deep, and you couldn't see them, you know, if they were here.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Bayside, you can see everything, so... Oh, well.
Anyway, that was an interesting diversion.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Alligator City here. If you head south to mile marker 143, there's another springs there, Blue Springs. And this one's kind of neat because you can anchor an oxbow there by getting your dinghy, go across the river to the, I call it a beach area, but it's really more of a mud area you pull up to. And they have a boardwalk that walks up about a mile, I guess, or so, maybe a little farther, to the head of the springs. And when you get there, there's a building that rents you inner tubes, and you grab one of these inner tubes, and you drift down all the way down to the end of the springs. It's really, really a neat trip, very refreshing. The water coming out of that ground is 72 degrees, crystal clear, and manatees in there, really great.
I love it. I don't think I've even ever rented an inner tube. I just kind of float on down, you know. But it's wonderful. And in the heat of the summer, particularly, it is just so refreshing. It's just incredible.
Yeah, 72 degrees sounds...
Because,
72 degrees sounds warm, but I'll tell you, it's darn cold if you're in it.
Well, for us, it is.
Yeah. And then we're going to head south from there to mile 149 to the La Kiva River. And this is... this little side trip here. He's going to tell you about that one. That one, you got to anchor off the boat there, off the river entrance, and head up river by dinghy. But it's pretty small river, very windy, overhanging trees and vines and spiders and snakes and lions and tigers and bears. It's really a neat trip. Tell them about our trip up there, hon.
Well, then we didn't see any lions or bears, but or tigers for that matter, but it's just an incredible, incredible side trip. It's probably one of my favorites, if not the favorite of any of our trips, because it is such a tiny, windy river. It's almost more what I would call a crick or a creek or whatever, however you'd pronounce that. And as much as Sterling is saying La Kiva, I think it's La Kiva. There is different pronunciations on the river itself, but very shallow. Definitely have to take a ding and be careful even with that, because you certainly can be hitting bottom here and there and kind of really keep an eye. But as he's saying, you're certainly going to see gators as you travel down this little trip. One visit we had, I happened to glance up, and we had this owl sitting on a limb 6 foot above our heads, just sitting there watching us. Well, of course, we had to stop moving and just drift along so that we could just look right back at him. But it's just so unique and interesting. You'll see so many different sorts of things as you travel down.
About the fish
down,
you say.
Yeah, but about as far down as you can get to this old fish camp. And I mean old fish camp. It could have been in Deliverance. I mean, it's from way back where, when, I don't know where. But a little crickety old place with little crickety old people taking care of it that are just wonderful people and thrilled to see you like nobody comes to see them at all, you know. But
the lady had three teeth, remember?
Oh, I wasn't going to go that far, but you're right. But just wonderful people. What a unique place, because it's like, that's it. I mean, there was nothing else to be seen that looked like civilization. And, of course, you had to get a soda and, you know, just to check it out and walk around and see what's going on there. And then, of course, coming back is, you know, you've got more of the same, because you never know what you're going to see around each corner. There's something else awaiting you. And at one point, my daughter and son-in-law were with us on this trip, and but Sterling saying that I saved a fish, because here I'm looking off to the side, and at the bank line, there's a snake who has caught a fish. And he's got this fish in his mouth, and the snake has taken the fish up land.
How dare
you? And
him.
I'm like, oh, I did. That's exactly what I said. And I grabbed the boat pole, and I poked the snake. And he let the fish go, and he swam away. So see? Oh, yeah, my whole rescue mission. That was.
Lake Monroe has a bath because of you.
Yeah, right. Because of. But we just love it up in there. It's just gorgeous. And I think every time we do the St. John's, we make a point of doing that side trip, because it's obviously, like you're hearing me, one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
It's so different.
So
and
now that you've done. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that's not too far from Sanford, is it?
No, not at all. From there, you got about another 4 miles, 3 miles to Sanford. You'll enter Lake Monroe, another well-marked channel. And Sanford is a pretty good-sized city, which would be the end of the journey down the river. That's about as far as you can go. But docking here, again, is relatively inexpensive, 75 cents a foot. That's for floating docks right on the river, right in downtown Sanford. There's a nice little tourist town there. You can get resupplied, spend a couple of days there. They have a swimming pool, real great facility, and recuperate from your trip down the river fighting all the alligators and snakes.
How much time should you allow for doing the river?
You could easily do the river up and back in less than 10 days, easily. I mean, it's only 100-plus miles, so.
It depends on what you're doing, Janice. You know, if you're going, like, we spend time in Palatka. We tend to like Palatka, and we will spend time there. And we might spend 3 or 4 days there. And then Pontoon Park, we've been there for 2 or 3 days. Stanford is the same. So it depends on you, your side trip.
And your time schedule, yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know. But like he's saying, 10 days, you could certainly do the trip and see plenty. But I don't know. Smelling all the roses.
I think you could probably, if you were looping, you could probably do a nice trip all the way down the river and back in a week. If you hurry rushed back and headed down pretty slow. But I would recommend 10 days for it. It's just a trip, and I hate to see loopers missing. You know, we all these other great side trips that we have, and this is kind of overlooked so much by so many people.
And 10 days is not that long. I mean, when you're on the loop and it's going to be a year, 10 days is
exactly.
Nothing to take the side trip and really see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Rather than miss out, that's for sure. And
right.
As much as we've touched on the springs, that is probably one of my favorite parts of this river also, is the fact that you have access to 3 springs.
Uh-huh.
And if you spend any time in springs and you like to swim and do a little snorkeling, this is just gorgeous areas to do it. All 3 of them are park-like settings, and you can certainly spend lots of time there. We've had friends come up with their motorhomes, meet us at one of the parks, and they're there in their motorhome, and here we are in the boat, and we're meeting on the park property, you know, for a day or two.
Fantastic.
It works out real well. We love it. I just absolutely love it. So we're hoping to spend some time on St. John's this year as we bring the boat south and bring it home.
Well, thank you very much. You've made it come alive. I really appreciate it.
Have you done it, Janice? Have you been there?
No.
Well, okay. We're talking into it.
Yes,
yep.
You are.
It's not that far for you guys. You really should do it.
No, we could make Jacksonville, Steve, what, in a week?
Yeah,
give me from where you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you need to do it.
That's not that far for you guys. That's a nice 2-week trip for you guys, maybe.
Hey, maybe 3-week round trip would be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. You tell you what, it's great. It's really unusual. It's something you'll always remember.
Uh-huh. Well, I really want to thank you very, very much as usual. You've done a great job telling us about cruising. And, Judy, thanks again. I'm glad your phone was working this time.
Yes, me too.
And unless we have anything else, I think we'll close. Thank you to all our listeners and Captain Sterling and Judy again. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Very welcome. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye, y'all.